Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
Time to talk some football with the Professor John Clayton. We do it every day at this time with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. If you guys have questions for John, text them in now to 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. We'll try to get to some of your questions before we let him go. Hello, John.
Hello, guys.
How are you?
Good. A little more awake than yesterday.
You weren't very awake yesterday?
Oh, you had to get up early for your voting.
Well, I mean, we started the call at 6:30, the Zoom call, but naturally, because it's a Zoom call, you probably need about 15 minutes just to make sure you can get in. So literally, you know, it's about 6:10. I was down here trying to get linked up, and then naturally, you're worried because you don't know if it's going to work and all that stuff, so you don't get much sleep before then.
I gotcha. Now, who'd you vote for again? Let's see, Peyton Manning, Tom Flores. Who were the other ones you told us?
That's it.
Oh, okay. Hey, what can you tell us about as we continue with this, the offensive coordinator search for the Seahawks? A new name has emerged, running back coach for the Raiders, Kirby Wilson. What can you tell us about him?
Well, I know him from back in Pittsburgh. I mean, he was one of the best running back coaches then. And, of course, you can see, with him going to San Francisco, well, he went to the Raiders, and they've done such a good job in developing that. Now, the question is going to be, can he make the conversion to be a play caller? Because I don't think he's really done that. Now, I know Anthony Lynn did it for 1 year in 2016. But he's considered a bright coach. Obviously, he's going to be a running coach. And then what you wonder, is this going to be one of those things where it's going to be a dual purpose type of offense where it's like, okay, you have your run coordinator and the play caller in Kirby Wilson, or is it going to be, with Dave Canellis also in there getting some of the pass calls and trying to put their heads together on it? I mean, Kirby does have a history with Pete Carroll, coached with him back in the days when he was in New England, days in the Jets, certainly the days at USC. So, and I don't know if he did any USC play calling or not. He may have, but there's a long history right now with Kirby Wilson, with Pete Carroll.
Hey, John, we're just in general, sort of ballpark. We did every day we're doing free agents and just looking at some of the list for the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. So you got Lano Hill, which he'll be going into his fifth year, and DeMontre Moore going into his ninth year, and Jonathan Bullard in his sixth year that we're looking at. Are all of those guys pretty much a minimum salary type of guys, would you say?
Lano Hill may get more, but not from this team, I don't think, because I think if he does come back, it's got to be probably pretty close to the minimum. Certainly, in the case of Bullard, I mean, that'll be a minimum salary type of deal. It was a minimum type of deal for DeMontre Moore, but, if they know they can have some homes if they come back. But, because, the talk around the league right now, because, again, when they got everything agreed upon for the 2020 season, as far as the union and the owners, is that they're thinking, okay, we'll have a floor of $175 million from the $198.2 as far as the 2021 cap. But most people are starting to think that the cap in 2021 is going to be close to $180 million. And that really puts everybody in a major, major problem trying to figure out, okay, how am I going to get through this? Because, you're going to really have to get a lot more minimum salary type of deals, and there's a very little margin of error with some of the big contracts.
So a ninth-year guy like DeMontre Moore, you have an idea of kind of what that – he's a defensive end.
Yeah.
He's the one guy, John, that I really – like Bob asked me, who do you value? I value him because of his hustle.
Mm-hmm.
He hustles his tail off. He plays hard. He runs down on kickoffs. Is he a priority? No, like you said, John, probably a minimum guy. Defensive end, ninth year. What is he?
Yeah, it's seven, like a – well, it'll be – I'm just starting to go through the new numbers right now.
Oh, the adjusted numbers.
The adjusted numbers, because they're going to go up. So my guess is probably going to be, last year for somebody – because he's had 9 years, or is this going to be his ninth year coming?
This will be his ninth year, yeah.
Okay, so he would be a 105.0 guy. So that probably goes up to 1125, 1,025,000. And then the cap number, which would be 750, probably goes to 825.
Yeah, gotcha.
John, the 425 wants to know, Clayton, who is out there on the O-line that the Seahawks can get? Who would we cut to free up money to get him? And they say, I'm talking stud O-linemen, not scrubs.
It's, yeah, it's going to probably, if they're going to go outside, it's going to be pretty much kind of like they did with Brandon Shell and B.J. Finney, you know, those type of guys, you know, the $4 to $5 million a year guys, as opposed to trying to go out because, with particularly the needs they have as far as re-signings, if they're going to do something with Shaquille Griffin, you know, they have to certainly readjust the contract of Carlos Dunlap, is that, you know, they're not going to have a lot of wiggle room right now to go spend for a $10 million offensive lineman. I just don't see that happening. And so, it's going to be kind of like the free agency you saw with John Snyder last year or this past season. And, you know, because, again, it's like you're not going to be able to afford those $10 million plus players.
John, so your boy retired, Philip Rivers.
Yeah.
We just did a little bit of a story on him and about his arm release.
Dadgummit.
Yeah, that's how he curses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, just your thoughts on his retirement. And then, you know, I'm seeing with the Colts possibly targeting Wentz after the Rivers retirement, you think?
Oh, it could. I mean, I get the feeling that, part of the argument with Doug Peterson was what to do with Wentz. And Wentz obviously has a problem right now with Doug Peterson. So sounded like Jeff Lurie and the rest of the front office decided that they probably are going to keep Wentz. And I think that Salah wants to do the same thing. But naturally, if you're going to be Indianapolis, you have to explore that. You have to explore Sam Darnold. But I'm surprised, really, that Philip Rivers, dadgummit, decide to retire, because clearly he has more football left in him, at least a couple years. Maybe it's 1 year, maybe it's 2 years. But when you watched him throw at the end, particularly even in the playoff game, I mean, he was throwing as strong, if not stronger, than Ben Roethlisberger. I know he's 39 years old. Certainly the playoff loss hurt. But now, for the fifth time in 5 years, I mean, you have the Colts looking for a quarterback. And that's been since the retirement of Andrew Luck. And so what you're thinking is that can you get a short-term fix or a long-term fix? And at this stage, they probably need the long-term fix. Now, certainly you know that Matthew Stafford is going to be in the cards. That could be one that could go there, could go to San Francisco. We'll see about Jimmy Garoppolo. We'll see about Jared Goff. But I think they've got to do something because, you know, right now, I mean, they have Jacoby Brissett, but his contract is up. And I kind of wonder, you know, having lost a starting job to Philip Rivers, and then also, you know, them drafting Jacob Eason, he must feel that hey, it's like, where am I in this whole equation?
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be one that they've got to all sort out. But, you know, I don't know if you saw the quote that Philip Rivers gave to ESPN, you know, because he wanted to say, hey, I just want to say, I hope I wasn't too nasty to all the officials that I criticized for the bad calls that I thought were bad. He says, but I was right almost all the time, dadgummit.
You know who else says dadgummit is Keith Butler.
Oh, does
he? The D coordinator for Pittsburgh.
Does he not curse?
Doesn't curse. Never heard him curse. And all the years I've known him, I have a tendency to respect those guys. That's a real mental strength. I don't remember.
Maybe unless you just never did it, really. It's not hard, I guess. Right?
I don't remember hearing the professor.
It'd be hard for you and I to do that because we have foul mouths.
Dave, yeah. I grew up in a ghetto. Do you think I don't have a foul mouth?
Okay, well, I mean, I've heard you. Of course, mostly I talk to you on the radio.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Of course, you're not going.
Yeah,
to
because let's
that.
Put it this way: if I curse, then the station gets in trouble with the FCC. So it's like I think I better stay away from that.
Yeah. So anyway, but
and then Moore has to stand there every 30 seconds with the delete button to try to make sure that you don't do that. So I try to be well behaved.
She's ready. She knows where you're from, John.
Yeah, that's
I think
true.
One time you told a story about when you flush your toilet, somebody down the river gets your, and I think you might have accidentally slipped something in there. But other than you've been a good boy.
Hey, John, we've talked a lot about Deshaun Watson and where he may end up. Maybe he goes to the Colts. Who knows? But Is J.J. Watt going to be on the move? What's going to happen with him?
I think he's going to be out of there, too. The question is, you know, I know I made a call down to Houston today, and the thought is they're not going to trade him. I mean, his big problem is...
You're talking Watson?
Watson, yeah. Okay. I mean, his big problem is that, you know, they have all kind of issues with Jack. I mean, he has issues with Jack Ellerbe, you know, who's one of the front office guys who's on a 5-6 year contract at over $3 million, and the trust factor is just totally gone. I mean, I think if they hire a coach that he likes, they can solve it, but there's no way they can trade him because he's too valuable and there's a no-trade clause in his contract. But teams like the Jets, maybe Miami, they've got to inquire because, you know, arguably, Watson's one of the six best quarterbacks in the league. In the case of J.J. Watt, I mean, it's one kind of like you can see with Carlos Dunlap. It's like it's time. It's time to move on. He's tired of the losing. He's tired of the defense not getting worse and worse and worse. And so, you know, I'm sure what his hope is, they find a way to get him over to Pittsburgh because he has his two brothers there. And, you know, they've got some issues with unsigned guys on the defensive line. But can you imagine J.J. Watt in Pittsburgh with Derek Watt and TJ Watt?
In your opinion, what does he have left? I mean, he's not the player he was. He's dealt with a lot of injuries. So what kind of appeal does he have?
Still good appeal. I mean, arguably, even at his age, he's the best defensive player on that team. And that may not be saying much because they don't have too many good defensive players left. But no, he's still good. And I mean, you can see he can rush the passer. Maybe he's not, obviously he's not going to be as fast as he was and maybe a little bit more brittle, but he's still a good football player.
Hey, John, we heard from Patrick Mahomes' mother, and now we're hearing from Drew Brees' wife that he was playing, I'm not sure why, but I guess he was playing with a rotator cuff and a foot the whole year. Could that explain some of what we saw in that last playoff game, I wonder?
Could be, yeah. I mean, although I don't think Drew Brees' wife is helping Sean Payton at all, because if he did indeed have a foot problem and a neck problem and all these different things, it's like you got to put it on the injury report. And that's, you know, you're hiding it then. And we've seen that happen before with a wife or two that'll, you know, come out and say, oh, yeah. In fact, didn't they do that? It was Tom Brady's wife did it one year.
Yeah.
Talking about the injury he was playing through.
And did she end up getting them in trouble, getting the Patriots in trouble for it?
No, I don't think, they didn't get in trouble for it.
That was about concussions or something, right? He's played through concussions, and I thought it was something to do with that. John, the 206 asking, Professor, what will the Vikings do with Kirk Cousins? Isn't his contract up?
No, they gave him a contract extension of $33.5 million a year. And, you know, it's such a contract that it's going to really be hard to move because, you know, there's so much dead money if you do it. And it's a completely guaranteed contract. So unless they can find a trade partner, it's going to be tough.
We know anything I mentioned earlier, Mahomes, and we talked about this already, about Colin Coward saying they should just move the game closer. But what do you, as it starts to stretch on, it's Wednesday now. I mean, all of a sudden you're starting to think, man, I mean, it could be that we're going to see Henny out there.
I don't see it. Here's where it is. And, you know, there's a 5-stage protocol as far as coming out of concussion protocol. Okay. He's in stage 3. Okay, what is stage 3? Today he was on the practice field, and he was able to be out there for 30 minutes doing some things. Now, obviously, you can't be taking snaps behind center, but the Chiefs made a brutal mistake. I don't know why they did this, and said he had a full practice, which, of course, he didn't. I mean, because the next step in phase 4 is that, like, so if he passes, goes to phase 4 tomorrow, he can go on the practice field and, you know, do non-contact work. And do stuff like that. So he may be able to take some snaps from center and do that. But I think he's on path right now to be able to play. I mean, he says he feels good. Andy Reid says he's making progress. And, you know, phase 3, just getting to phase 5, where he finally gets cleared. And they're doing some, you know, tests to see, okay, are you okay on this? Are you okay on that? But I think right now he's on pace to be able to play because, hey, it's Wednesday. Wednesday, you know, it was a pretty easy day in the Andy Reid practice schedule. And so now Thursday is going to be a little bit more, and I think he's going to be able to do a little bit more.
John, the 509 wants to know where Juju Smith-Schuster ends up.
I think they'll try to find a way to keep him in Pittsburgh. Because if not, I mean, he'll be one of the more popular receivers out there because he's a real good receiver. And so they've got to kind of hunker down. And, you know, it's not out of the question to put the franchise tag on him because he's so valuable to the team. But they still have a lot of cap issues right now, the Steelers, and trying to figure out how they're going to get through and how they're going to get under the cap.
Hey, I know this isn't like pressing news that everybody's waiting on the edge of their seat, but the Lions did hire a new coach, Dan Campbell. Mm-hmm. What do we know about him? And then where would Matt Patricia be, do you think?
Okay. Well, I mean, it's kind of interesting to, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Patricia doesn't get much coaching this year because, again, it's like as bad as he was on defense, you want to really hire him as a coordinator? I mean, he does have talent, but, again, it didn't work out. I mean, what we know about Dan Campbell is he's a former Lions player, and we're stunned to find out he got a six-year contract.
Yeah.
And it's like it's not like he's an accomplished guy with play-calling experience or anything else. I'm sure – I mean, you kind of look at this like kind of like the offensive version of Mike Vrabel, although Vrabel had a real good – review of how he was rising up, you know, because he did become a coordinator. I mean, he was a very good coach. I mean, you can see he's
you're
good.
Saying Vrabel's saying the stuff about Campbell?
No. I'm just talking about, you know, I'm trying to get an example of, you know, what it is. And so, like, you know, Vrabel was a real good player.
Right.
And then he became a coach and then started to go up the ranks. And he's now emerged as a coach that's been able to get the Titans to back-to-back playoff appearances. I just don't know if it's Dan Campbell because, again, I mean, he wasn't like the main offensive coordinator. I mean, he was the tight ends coach. And, of course, I mean, I have to almost look at this, but the tight end, Jarrett Cook, may be as old as Dan Campbell. So it's just a curious hiring, and it does make you kind of wonder is that Detroit wanted to hire somebody that's been in Detroit. They couldn't get Robert Saleh because he ends up going to the Jets, even though, you know, Saleh grew up in the Detroit area. And now they go for Dan Campbell, but there's less skins on his wall than there is Robert Saleh or just about anybody else in the new coaching community.
Yeah, and like 13, 14 years ago, he played tight end for Detroit and had a nice 10-year career, but just not a guy that, you know, you've heard about as being, I don't know if he was on any of those lists. So, yeah, it was kind of surprising.
And a curious hire, although I think this guy may be pretty good, you know, in what they did at the general manager position, you know, because, you know, he was an area scout and really didn't work in the office with the Rams.
916 wanting to know where Earl Thomas is going to end up. And were you surprised, by the way, that nobody picked him up this season?
Not really. No, I think that his reputation was so bad, particularly with the Baltimore experience. And then also, I think he was, because again, you've seen how, you know, guys like Damon Snacks Harrison and Luke Wilson and all the, you know, veteran players that didn't get a job in the first month of the season basically had to accept going on the practice squad. Well, there was no way, ego-wise, that Earl was going to make it on the practice squad. He wouldn't just, I'm sure he wouldn't do it. It's like, I'm not going to go out there and, you know, play for, what, $12,000 a week? That's not happening. And so, you know, I'm sure he'll start to land someplace, but right now nobody can figure out where he can go.
It's weird that there was such a reaction to what happened in Baltimore. I mean, not justifying it at all, but there have been a lot of players that are much bigger creeps on and off the field that seem, I mean, Antonio Brown's got a home, you know, so it's just interesting that Earl, maybe it's worse behind the scenes than we know.
Well, it wasn't just the one incident with him. There was others. And, you know, for example,
him not practicing or going to meetings.
Being late for meetings, not showing up. And the one thing you know about Earl, you know, during the week, he's pretty much to himself. Right. And that's not saying that's not being bad or anything else. Like, for example, if you'd watch him during the week, it's not like he's, you know, Cam Chancellor, you know, getting his teammates motivated for the week. He sits there. I mean, he's going to look at his iPad and just kind of look and say, OK, I'm watching this play. I'm watching this play. I mean, he studies so hard that he really doesn't communicate with his players. Like, the most communication you're going to get out of Earl Thomas is going to be in games on the field, which he was very good at doing. But during the week, I mean, he's pretty much to himself. And, you know, whatever bad side that he got on, it just kind of got worse.
You know, we talked earlier about Keith Butler. He signed a dadgum one-year contract in dadgum Pittsburgh. And I didn't know this, John. It says he doesn't call the plays. I guess Mike Tomlin handles those duties. So I did not know that. I'm wondering if that's accurate.
I don't think it's accurate. No, because
this is in Pro Football Talk.
Yeah, well, I mean, have we seen some inaccurate things occasionally in Pro Football Talk?
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, I was just wondering what the
we should ask Colin Cowherd.
No. As you said, he's gotten worse than Chris Sims.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Chris Sims is the one on Pro Football Talk. But yeah, I imagine if you're doing sports talk radio in Pittsburgh, that sure ended poorly. I mean,
yeah.
What they're talking about. You said the other two Watt brothers are there, but I know TJ's there.
Yeah.
But Derek Watt's there?
He's a fullback.
Yeah, he's a fullback.
Yeah. So that would be awesome if they could get JJ there, but mm-hmm. probably not. Anyway, and then they got a big signing there with Bud Dupree. But, I mean, I just can't imagine, you know, doing – I mean, you're 11-0 and doing sports talk radio there, and you're thinking, wow, this is a Super Bowl team. I mean, they've got to be – I'm sure lots of fingers are being pointed there.
Oh, yeah, there's no question. I mean, the fingers right now are not going good, but, of course, they still – you know, the big question, and again, I think it's been answered, not officially, but, you know, about Big Ben, because he finished the season so bad with so many bad games and bad throws and looking pretty old, but it still sounds like he's going to be back.
Hmm. Hey, as far as Stafford goes, you were talking Lions. Yeah. What are their options if they get rid of him? Who's the backup in Detroit? Do they have somebody they feel
is
their apparent?
Well, I think is it Chase Daniels on a 1-year contract? He's now a free agent.
Yeah.
I mean, they really don't have a backup. I mean, Mark Slough would be somebody that still I think that they have control over, because I don't think he's completed, you know, his 3 years or 4 years, so maybe Mark Slough would be there, but I don't think you're going to go into the season of hope and say that we're going to ride Mark Slough out there and try to do it. So very curious position, but then you know you figure that it's been so tough for Matthew Stafford because he's played so well since coming on a team that didn't win a game and after he was drafted, and then you know he's been I think the 3 or 4 playoffs teams, but the team hasn't been good enough around him to win a playoff game.
John, I know you're a journalist and you're objective and all that.
Thank you.
What's been your
and all that
and all that, you know, noise? But what about I don't know, just a team that you think that's left? Whether it's, you know, the Bills, I think it's a really good story there.
Mm-hmm.
But Tampa's a pretty good story there. Which one do you think is sort of the most interesting of the four that are left?
Well, I mean, you probably have to say, you know, still it's Tom Brady, because, you know, here's his chance to maybe get to his 10th Super Bowl, and he's doing it on a team that, what, hasn't been to the playoffs since, 2007, somewhere like that? I mean, they've been, you know, 9, 10 years, 11 years or so not going to the playoffs, and, you know, here they are knocking on the door. They finally get the big win over New Orleans, and they go into Green Bay, of course, you know, what you wonder about. Now, not that Tom's going to be influenced by this at all, because he played in Foxborough, where they have snow. It's supposed to be 1 to 3 inches of snow in Green Bay, but I still think that's probably the most intriguing, because I mean you still have two great quarterbacks going over, and certainly the story in Buffalo is fantastic, because you have to go back to 1993 was the last time they won a playoff game and the last time they've been to the Super Bowl. And so you know the thoughts of Brady getting to his 10th Super Bowl, the thoughts of Josh Allen and the Bills getting back after all that time of no playoff wins and, you know, almost 2 decades. Because remember, you know, once they made the playoffs 2 years ago, they took the Mariners and made them now the franchise that hasn't been to the playoffs the longest time in sports, because the Bills were the franchise in sports been in the longest and not going to the playoffs.
That's right.
John, we appreciate it. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good.
There you go. If you missed any of today's Cold Hard Facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, download the podcast at 710sports.com. Coming up, ESPN ranked their top 50 NFL free agents this offseason. Should we expect much from the Seahawks in free agency this year? And did any Seahawks make that top 50 list? We'll tell you next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
This happy hour is brought to you by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. I was just reading a story about Earl Thomas. Somebody texted in and asked about him for the professor, and then Maura told me about the story that came out 6 days ago, and somebody else sent in a text about it.
That was far too long, what you just read.
Yeah, there. I'm not going to read the whole article, but he's got
I'm just saying that there was lots.
There's been a lot of incidents that, yeah, I wasn't even aware of this one, but there were ones preceding this. He got into some incident with his estranged wife around Christmas. She was granted a restraining order. He punched through a window. He admitted that to the cops. It's just and then the details, all these other incidents prior to that that took place in October and June of this year. And man, he doesn't sound to be in a good way. So maybe that's more the reason. I wasn't aware of this incident when we were asking about. Yeah, I mean, he's goofy and things certainly did not end well with Baltimore. But we've seen a lot of guys that have behavioral issues, whether it's on the field or off the field, get a lot of opportunities in this league. And a guy of his caliber in terms of what he brings to the field, you would have thought somebody would have picked him up, but this is not going to help him.
Well, and it's not just, I mean, the stuff off the field is awful.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you was it the Houston Texans that decided they didn't want him, like the player group, or maybe the Cowboys?
No, I think it was the Texans.
Yeah, I think it was too. There was a story that, you know, the players got together and was like, yeah, we don't want him here. So, I mean, everybody sort of knows each other, and I think that came from the stuff in Baltimore. Again, you know, I always say this, I was never late for a meeting in the NFL, and I was close. One time I woke up late, and I basically showed up at the facility with just a pair of shorts on, and that's it, barefoot, everything, running in there, grabbed a sweatshirt out of my locker, and made it just as, you know, it clicked to 8:30 or 9 o'clock or whatever. I mean, he was late for a whole bunch of meetings. Then what did he did something with his? He went to get his car washed during a meeting.
Yeah. Then he punched, that's why he was late or something, because he was getting his car washed.
And then he punched a teammate. I mean, it was just it's spinning out of control. So it's terrible news. I mean, I always think about him and Richard Sherman, who we'll talk about here in a second, as he is on this top 50 free agent list. But I always think about, you know, time will pass, and, you know, 10 years from now, we'll forget about all the bad stuff, you know, the way Richard left, the way Earl Thomas left, and we'll just remember the good times, because, man, those guys played their tails off, you know, so good. But, you know, Richard's going to be 33, you know, maybe when he's 43, things are different, and he feels differently about this franchise, but, boy, the way things are going for Earl Thomas, it makes you really worry about, you know, where he's headed.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I don't
headed
think
in life, not in the NFL.
Yeah, because I don't think he's going to be back in the NFL.
It based on this story that I was just reading, and again, all the infractions that took place prior to the Christmas one, you're just like, wow, how did I not hear about these? And second of all, it makes sense why teams would be very leery of engaging with him at all, despite whatever talent he may bring to the field. So sad story, man. Really sad story for a guy who's incredibly talented.
Well, and he's only 31 years old.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, you look at Sherm's 33 for a corner and everything, but, you know, a lot of times when a guy loses a step at corner, they'll move him back to safety because, you know, you don't have to be, you know, you're not up playing man-to-man, just taking away an entire half of the field. And, but, yeah, Earl's still a fairly young guy and I think can still play, but just the other part that's getting in the way.
So I saw this article last night about the top 50 free agents that are available. I mean, obviously, there's many more than that. But according to ESPN, just all positions, any player available. And I was just more curious to see where they had the Seahawks. You know, because as we've said, we've got 24 of unrestricted free agents on this roster that include the names of Chris Carson, K.J. Wright, Shaquille Griffin, people like that. And wanted to see how many of them would make the top 50. And you already know the answer to this, but I would ask this to the listeners. How many Seahawks do you think made that top 50 list? And you can text it in. I'll give you a second for the delay to kick in. And then I'm going to tell you. The answer's one.
Yeah.
The answer's one. And you think most people would guess who it was?
Well, I thought maybe people would say Chris Carson.
That's kind of what I thought.
But then I forgot about the answer. Are we divulging?
Yeah. Shaquille Griffin.
Shaquille.
He was number 28 on the list.
Right.
The only Seahawk to make the top 50 unrestricted free agent list. And I'm a little surprised by it. I thought Carson was, they had like a list of honorable mentions, if you will. Like, here are some others to keep an eye on. He was in that list. But yeah, not even in the top 50. Jadeveon Clowney made the top 50.
Right.
I think he was actually ahead of Shaquille Griffin.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's I guess, a little bit disturbing that you don't have more players there. But I guess I was looking at it more from like, okay, who do we want here? And then how in the world do we get them? The number one free agent, by the way, being Dak Prescott, who I've always loved Dak Prescott. But then after that,
I don't think we can get him here.
Trent Williams, yeah, we don't need him here. Trent Williams, offensive tackle. Leonard Williams, a guy that we saw with the Giants, who's an edge/defensive tackle type of guy, really good player. I think he's an Alabama guy that was a first-round draft choice. But you know what I'm looking at on this list, Bob? I'm looking at offensive linemen.
Who's grabbing you?
Yeah, I mean, you look at, I don't know how they're going to get it, but there's a guard, Brandon Scherff, who is what he's with the Washington football team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like the fifth, sixth ranked guy. And then, yeah, I mean, I just feel like what Ray Roberts said yesterday kind of rung true with what how I feel that, you know, you want a guy that's got his PhD in playing center or guard or whatever, not these guys. And it's nice to have the, you know, the versatility, but I think that it's kind of interesting to think of it that way. And Ray played offensive line for quite a while and coached it and everything, and I think it's a good point. Corey Linsley is a center. You know, he's 30 years old. I mean, he's playing for the Packers, but, you know, he could be a guy. But, I mean, I guess I'm looking around and thinking about all the different areas where they can improve. I felt like they were pretty well stocked talent-wise, you know? I mean, maybe they don't have that absolute wow pass rusher, you know? I mean, when you have a strong safety that is leading the leagues, but you got a lot of choices at corner. I think you got some really good up-and-coming young guys at linebacker, even though Bobby and KJ are getting a little long in the tooth. But, you know, but to me, offensive line, and especially in that last game, that's where it really kind of, you know, snapped my head around. Like, watching the Packer game, I was just like, how in the world did they get that defensive line blocked up as well as they did? And, you know, and again, I think it goes back to not being sure about the game plan, not being sure about what they want to do. I love Duane Brown and how he is very sort of demonstrative about his emotions. He wears his heart on his sleeve, and there was just too many times this year where he looked really frustrated.
Yeah.
And sometimes it was the guy he was playing next to wasn't picking up the stunts. He knows how to pick up a stunt. And the guy inside of him, whether it was Simmons or Yapati, wasn't. And I know Duane Brown would never say anything about that, but that was some frustration there. And I think, again, that comes from not being sure about what we're doing offensively. So maybe
I don't
know
what they're doing in there.
Yeah, I never know what they're doing. But, you know, hopefully that gets cleared up. But, you know, I mean, just a good PhD center, I think, would be maybe my number one priority. We'll look at it as it goes on, and, you know, we'll see what kind of moves get made and who they re-sign. But just for Russell, I mean, if you look at it, even Justin Britt was a tackle, turned guard, then center.
Center, yep.
You know, when was the last time we saw a PhD center here? I guess Max Unger.
Yeah.
You know, and Max played, I think, from his sophomore year at Oregon on as center. I think he played guard for a little while. And then I think they had him listed as a guard early on when they brought him in here, maybe. But, you know, he's a guy that was a good long time, good center.
Do you believe, before we break here, and we asked Ray this yesterday, you believe in any, I mean, I think we like Simmons when he's healthy. He's had injury issues. We like Jamarco Jones when he's been thrown in there. Oh, boy, he did okay. But do you feel like you have an answer in any of those three guys? If Yapati, I think we all believe that was it for Yapati.
Yeah.
So they would occupy, one of those guys you figure would occupy that spot, center, they can address with somebody else. But do you feel like one of those guys is the game-in, game-out guy? I feel like they're all depth guys to varying degrees. I think Jones is the best of them. But I don't know that he's a guy you slot in as that is our new left guard every week of the season.
Yeah, well, I mean, if they will just make him that and then give him the reps and the opportunity, I like Jamarco Jones. I think he's really talented. But, you know, it just seems like, well, he played some tackle, he played some guard, he was on both sides of the line. Like, make him your left guard. Make him the guy that works next to Duane Brown every play. And then, you know, I think left guard and center are both pretty interesting. And Brandon Schell, the right tackle, Jake was, you know, saying the other day, he got exposed a little bit in that last playoff game. But, yeah, mostly I'm looking at center, guard. I mean, I feel like I don't want to say they're good at all of their positions, but to me that's the one that's probably the most lacking.
You feel good about Lewis. You like Brown, but you know that he's coming to the end. So you're looking toward the future there, like, all right, he's not going to be here for that much longer, so you need to have somebody ready to take that spot. I love the potential of Lewis. I think he had a really good year for the most part. He got worked in that Rams game. Schell, I think he was much more good than bad. I thought he had a pretty solid year. Things started going the wrong way toward the end of the year, so I'm not ready to bail on him at all. But, yeah, you certainly have questions on that line that are warranted. All right, coming up, of course, we need to hear some Philip Rivers trash talk today. And Bruce Arians said something that Chase Young didn't really appreciate. We'll talk about all of that when we sweep the dial. Coming up with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Who will become the next offensive coordinator of the Seahawks?
There was a lot of times this year where when Rabel and I were calling games where I was fooled, but I don't remember there being any that the Seahawks called where I was like, wait, where's the ball? That was really well done. That was very deceptive. I have to admit, I got a little bit of that feeling when I was watching the Packers playing the Rams.
Yeah.
I wasn't very surprised by the things that the Seahawks did this year. And maybe that's just Schottenheimer's personality.
Hear the latest updates and names linked to the Hawks at 710sports.com.
Man, that guy sounded like a genius. By the way, your home's foundation supports everything else that sits on top of it. Hey, it's Dave Wyman here for R&R Foundation Specialist. And if your foundation begins to fail or sink, it'll create stress on the rest of your home. And if you have some of the warning signs like cracked walls, windows, or doors that don't open and close properly, do what I did. Call R&R Foundation Specialist. I noticed some cracks in my foundation, and R&R did a thorough inspection, and now we have a plan of action. R&R Foundation Specialist will raise and restore your foundation by repositioning the load of your home onto steel piers that they drive deep beneath the earth, and then they gently lift your home back into place. It's a totally permanent solution. If you suspect your foundation's settling or you have a retaining wall that's cracked or tilting, get it checked out before more damage occurs. Have R&R Foundation Specialist come out for free, and they'll identify the issue and resolve it. Find them at rnrfoundationspecialist.com.
Hey, Brock Heward here with Precor Home Fitness Store Manager Brian Smith. How are you, my friend?
I'm great, Brock. We've been helping so many people who are laser-focused on their health, and we are fully stocked with all the gear to help them achieve their fitness goals.
What kind of gear?
Dumbbells, kettlebells, weights, plus all the top names in fitness machines. For the past year, we've helped so many people create spectacular gyms so they can work out in the safety and the convenience of their home, in a spare bedroom, or in their garage.
What does it take to set up a fitness room like that?
I'd start with a cardio machine like a treadmill, elliptical, or bike. Then strength gear like a home gym, dumbbells, weights, kettlebells. We'll help you pick out what's best for you, deliver it, and set it up.
Friends, having a home gym means you'll never miss a workout.
So if you want to drop a few pounds, get stronger, or start feeling and looking better, Precor Home Fitness will help you get there.
I love it. Find a store near you at PrecorHomeFitness.com.
Because when it comes to getting and staying in shape, Rob,
there's no place like home.
You've heard Tom Shane on the radio, but have you actually visited Shane Company? If you're looking for a unique engagement ring that reflects your personal style, come see us. Not only do we have all the classics, but our in-house design team is constantly introducing beautiful new styles. For your center stone, you'll find all the traditional diamond shapes, as well as the trending shapes like oval, cushion, and princess cut. Another way to make the ring uniquely yours is to choose a colorful, natural center stone. We're known for our vivid rubies and sapphires. Our sapphires come in over a dozen colors, like peach, lavender, and ice blue. Visit our store or go online where you can create and virtually try on any ring. With the largest selection of ring settings and loose stones, unlimited combinations and looks, at Shane Company, you can get your ring your way. We'll protect it for life, for free, and keep it sparkling like the day you said yes.
Now you have a friend in the jewelry business, Shane Company and ShaneCo.com.
You decided to upgrade your outdoor deck, so you ordered the essentials, a power washer, a set of patio chairs, and a shiny new grill. And you use your Bank of America Cash Rewards credit card, choosing to earn 3% cash back on online shopping and up to 5.25% as a preferred rewards member, which you put towards your most essential deck addition, a bird feeder. Apply for yours at bankofamerica.com/more rewarding. Copyright 2020 Bank of America Corporation.
Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free at rocketmortgagesquares.com.
Is a new kitchen in your plans? You're probably thinking months of mess, tens of thousands of dollars, and huge hassles. Hi, I'm Chad Cicchini, owner of Heritage Homecraft, and it just doesn't have to be that way. Our specialty is custom cabinet refacing and quartz countertops. With Heritage Homecraft, custom means built from scratch just for your kitchen. In about a week, we'll reface your existing cabinet boxes with quarter-inch thick solid hardwood. no veneers or laminates. We can make design changes, add cabinets, install custom features like soft closed drawers and sliding shelves and other cool touches, and top it off with a beautiful quartz countertop. Rather than subcontractors, we have our own team of professional craftsmen who make it easy and comfortable to have the kitchen of your dreams in about a week and save thousands. Don't put it off. Have us out and let us show you what a Heritage Homecraft custom refacing project looks like in your home. Give us a call, 425-485-1600, 425-485-1600, or heritagehomecraft.com.
Have you still not refinanced your mortgage? Well, soon you might be kicking yourself in the head. Rates are at historic lows. At the same time, home values have gone up roughly 50% in the last several years. Maybe it's time to put that equity to work by paying off high-rate credit cards, personal loans, or remodel your house. Hi, I'm Wesley Hoagland with Westland Financial. Let us put you in the position to do any of these things with no lender fees. That's right, you'll never pay lender fees, whether it's a conventional, FHA, or VA loan. We've been doing this for 20 years now. Maybe you just want to lock in a lower rate or refinance out of paying mortgage insurance. All it takes is a five-minute phone call to see how we can save you thousands of dollars a year. So call Westland at 888-455-3669. It's the biggest no-brainer in the history of mankind. Call us at 888-455-3669. Call us at 888-455-3669. That's 888-455-3669. 3669.
Lennox Financial Mortgage Corporation, DBA Westland Financial. License number CL3304, NMLS 3304. Not all loans apply. Equal housing lender.
Sweeping the dial. Streaming everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app and 710sports.com.
Hey, Greg, you can only play with 11, Greg! JT, don't dance with him. Run him over.
Don't dance with him.
You weren't even close to making that play. You got a hand on it. You weren't even close. Hey, pooch kick right over here, you not. Hey, yeah, little blistered things, awesome.
Hey, hey, hey!
Oh, honey. Oh,
whoop, whoop.
Oh, atta baby. Golly. Uh-oh. Shoot. Oh, my gosh. Shoot. Don't do it. Aggravates the stew out of me. Sheesh.
Did he say aggravates the stew out of me? Is that what he said?
Sounds like.
Yes, it had captioning.
I've never even heard that before as a clean way of saying
either.
Aggravating the stew out of me.
I'm trying to think of all the stuff Butler used to say, because he is from the South also, or dadgum. The dadgum, he uses dadgum like in like every 10th word. But
Boy, if you were on the field, you were still playing and you heard that coming at you, would you laugh? Would you be like, wait, what did you say? Or would you be like, I'm gonna cream this guy?
Well, you know what, I always I spent a whole year or two with him and Keith Butler, I'm talking about, who's the linebacker, was, I think he's the third leading tackler now because Bobby and KJ both passed him, but he's a guy from Kentucky. He played at Memphis. But then there was another guy named Greg Gaines who had the worst twang ever, and so I always said when they would argue back and forth, I would hear dueling banjos in my head.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, and then he'd say something, and he'd say... I remember the biggest insult was, your financial situation is in a state of disarray. But they would go back and forth, both, you know, from Tennessee, and it was like a foreign language to me. So, yeah, I've not heard those kinds of things. Can you find a way to respect a guy who has the discipline to never swear? I mean, to me, that says a lot. That would be tough.
I just think if you're somebody like Brock... Brock doesn't swear. Jake doesn't swear. I think if you've just been that way your whole life, it's not a chore. It's just how you are.
I heard Brock swear one time.
Did you?
I believe it was the reverse pass in Super Bowl 40. I was sitting next to him.
Really?
Yeah. And he stood up and said something. I can't remember exactly what it was. But yeah, he had the stew aggravated out of him. And
wow.
Was to the point. Was it a reverse pass that they threw? Was it the Hines Ward? Maybe... play.
I can't remember.
But the press box was so overflowed they gave us seats in the stadium.
Yeah.
And that's why they weren't showing the replays on the big board. So we didn't really understand how bad the calls were in that game.
Yeah.
But I do believe that Brock may have may have cracked there, but maybe not.
Not to take credit away from people that can do that. All I'm saying is if that's all you've ever known, you've just never been a person who curses, so you just carry that over through your adulthood.
Yeah, but being in the NFL, I mean, it's not like you're working in an office building.
Well,
you see all kinds of things and hear all kinds of things. There was lots of stuff I saw and heard in the NFL that I really didn't want to hear.
Should hear what I
didn't
say in traffic.
See. Yeah. This was, sometimes there were, never mind.
Yeah. All right. We'll move on.
For me, the most important thing is to, you know, get my body healthy and make sure, you know, I live a long life. Before basketball, I think that's the most important thing. So, for me, I'm not really looking at that side of things. Obviously, I want to play as soon as possible. I'm a competitor. I love to play the game. But for me, I think, you know, making sure I'm good health-wise is most important right now. So as far as timeline and everything like that, we'll definitely figure that out, you know, sometime in the future. But right now, we just don't have those answers.
So that's a voice of now Pacers guard, newly acquired Pacers guard. Is it Karis or is that a mistype? Is it Chris?
It's Karis.
Is it Karis?
C-A-R-I-S.
Yeah.
LeVert.
He was part of that big trade with the Brooklyn Nets and everything. And I know a lot of people don't follow NBA, but nice player, averaging a little over 18 points this season, same last season. So sort of coming into his own. Anyway, as being part of this trade, he's got to go through a physical and went through a screening, and they found a mass that had formed on his kidney, and he was completely unaware. I said, man, I was out there playing, and yeah, my energy was fine, no pain, no, not a symptom in the world. And basically because of this trade, he's feeling like, save my life potentially, because wow, he had no idea it was even there.
Well, I mean, doesn't he get physicals every year, though?
Maybe they're not that extensive, yeah, to, you know.
Well, and that's true. I mean, in the NBA and NFL, it's not just a normal physical. It's like you're paying a lot of money for,
yeah,
and it sounds like you, like a cattle thing going on here. But I mean, you're making sure that you're getting, you know, it's all about his body and his health.
Yeah.
It's kind of similar to, well, I mean, Kenny Easley, it didn't, you know, obviously it didn't work out. I mean, he had to go through dialysis and, mm-hmm, and kidney transplant and everything like that. But that came up when he was traded to the Arizona Cardinals my rookie year for Kelly Stauffert.
So, yeah, that's scary to know you got something like that going on and there's just not even a hint, as he was saying, not no fatigue, no pain, no nothing. He was, you know, in prime condition playing basketball at this level, and then, you know, part of a trade, whether it was good or bad in his mind, obviously it turns out very well. And he's saying as much, like, this trade basically saved my life.
Yeah.
So I guess a happy ending to that story, that he found something bad, but they can treat it. So there you go.
And Bruce, talk about that Winfield strip. I think New Orleans had all the momentum at that point. It was a game changer.
It really was. And, you know, I can't say enough about him. You know, to me, he's the defensive rookie of the year. 7.5 sacks is anything what he done.
So that's Bruce Arians basically talking about his guy. Right, they're talking about defensive rookie of the year, and it feels like Chase Young is the guy that most people are leaning on is the going to win that defensive rookie of the year. And Bruce Arians threw out indirectly saying, "Well, Antoine Winfield Jr. is more effective than anything that, you know, what do you say, 7.5 sacks or whatever it is done."
Yeah,
and then Chase Young retweeted back to him again. They're not saying anybody's name. But he said, might be a good time to mention that Winfield didn't even have a better season than Cam Curl. But I'll fall back.
Yeah.
So
that was actually a fan that tweeted that, but Chase Young retweeted it.
Retweeted it. Yeah.
Okay. So Cameron Curl, we talked about going in. He was a 4th-round draft choice out of Arkansas.
Yeah.
He had a great year. And so, but yeah, and I guess, is that Arians still over when Chase Young said something about bring on Tom Brady or something? He's still getting on him about,
yeah,
that?
Yeah, he said, careful what you wish for.
He delivered that really well, because he's like, well, you know, I don't mind that. But then he looked at the camera and had like this grave look and said, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
So maybe he's
Chase
still
Young, though, because he held to it and said, why wouldn't I want to play the GOAT? That's right. The GOAT. That's the greatest ever. Of course I want to go up against the best. So
yeah,
I thought he handled it well, and I just think it's interesting that Arians likes to poke.
You know, two things.
He likes to dig at people.
He does. And there's two things that I didn't think would happen that happened this year that were surprising for me. One is that I found a newfound respect for Jared Goff.
Yeah.
Right as Sean McVay. And then also Bruce Arians. He's always bothered me. So mm-hmm, I'm just like, who do you think you are? What's with those,
you didn't like his hats,
hipster glasses and hats? I think Danny used to always say he's the kind of guy that would drive a Mini
yeah,
Cooper.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that sort of garbled accent. What is that?
It seems to just kind of come and go.
Yeah, it's weird, but I don't know. I like that part. I like what he's doing with his team, and he's become kind of an interesting guy anyway. And I just, you know, and then the other thing about him, he kind of was ripping Brady a little bit.
Oh, yeah, early in the season.
Yeah. I mean, not ripping him, but I mean, he was calling out Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So
he was kind of ripping him.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, he basically said he was straight up saying
there was guys open and he wasn't hitting him.
Didn't see him, or he made a bad throw, or that's on the quarterback. He didn't really pull any punches. So
So I respected that.
And he's going for his guy. And by the way, he's right. Antoine Winfield Jr.'s had a heck of a season.
Yeah.
He looks like a really good player. So I don't know if he's going to win Rookie of the Year, but he's standing up for his guy.
Well, and by the way, when they got him, his dad, Antoine Winfield, had picked off Brady.
Oh, my goodness.
So, and I think that was big news when they got Antoine Winfield Jr. It's like, this guy.
And he was here for a hot minute, wasn't he? Antoine Winfield? Wasn't he here for the end of his career? And
there was a DB from Minnesota. Was it a Minnesota?
I think he was here. I don't know that he made it to the regular season, but he was here.
Yeah, he was here. He was in camp.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Yep.
Yeah. So,
that's the dad, by the way.
Yeah, the dad. Senior. Yep. Antoine Winfield Sr.
Yeah, 2013.
Yeah. All right. So, there you go. Hey, this happy hour is brought to you by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. Coming up, our Mariners insider, Shannon Dreher, is going to join us, give us her biggest takeaways from Jerry DePoto yesterday. Talk some Mariner baseball coming up with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.